Arteric pulse vibrator.
Arteric.
I am not a natural speaker, and I made a new friend on the way to breakfast this morning, and I realized this is like when I've had colonoscopies, and that the prep is the worst. And once you actually get there to the clinic, it's like, it's all good. It's all good. So that's what I feel like today. Move that down a little bit. Is that better? Okay. So I am talking today about the principles of willingness and, oh my gosh. So 6 and 7. And I am talking about willingness.
Humility.
And humility, thank you. Where did that go? And those of you who are familiar with the big book know steps 6 and 7 each get one paragraph in the big book. So it is really easy to be like, okay, boop, done that. You know, but they're actually really important. And first thing I'll do is I'll read just a little bit out of 4 today. I just picked the first thing that I came up with from willingness. So the old and familiar is more comforting to contemplate than the new and untried. What will be new? Whatever old idea I give up, a new one will take its place. Beliefs I was sure about have turned out to be wrong. Foremost among them was the idea that if I took complete charge of my life, asking no help from any quarter, it would turn out the way I wanted. But it never did. It was only when I gave up being in charge that the reality of abstinence with peace of mind entered my life. All of my progress towards sanity and balance come from that one magnificent change. For today, I pray to be willing to give up more of my old mistaken notions that I cling to as absolute truths. So to qualify, I will tell you I have been a compulsive eater as long as I can remember. I was raised in a family with a long history of compulsive overeating, and they showed love with food. I used food all of my life to quiet my anxiety, and my dysfunctional family situation and all that. I really suffered during my childhood because I was overweight. And this was I grew up in the 70s, early 80s. It wasn't as common to be overweight like it might be now. It was hard to find clothes. I was called names. I endured embarrassing phys ed activities. I limited my high school jobs to ones that didn't require a uniform because I could not face the certain embarrassment that the largest size wouldn't fit me. So I just didn't apply. And ironically, I went and worked at a bakery. Imagine how that worked out. I always thought that although I was overweight, you know, I was strong, and maybe I was pretty, had good hair on a good day, so nobody would notice. My mom was a great example. Always dressed, hair done, makeup on, you know. I grew up with that example, but then something would happen like I would have to fit in an airline seat or attend a concert or a show and make certain that we had tickets on the aisle and manipulate everyone I was with to make sure I got that aisle seat because otherwise I would have an anxiety attack. I couldn't keep up on a normal walk with friends. It was just obvious that this was not working out. And getting older made carrying that excess weight even harder. Just got progressively harder. Now, I first found OA through a friend in college in the late 1980s. And so I have been in and out of this program since then. I've had periods of relief, periods of relapse, periods of amazing recovery. And I realized that the amazing recovery part, that really happened when I found the courage to do my first 4th and 5th steps, and that was about 20 years in. So before that, I was just taking the relief. I left. I came back about 11 years ago because my knee surgeon told me that she wouldn't do surgery for me unless I lost 22 pounds. And I know all of you understand that I remember that exact number, and that was in 2005. I know exactly how many pounds she said I had to lose. And I was going to show her. How dare she, you know? I couldn't lose 1 pound anymore. I could not do it. So I started listening to OA podcasts, which is a new thing. And I worked up the courage to go back to my old meeting and started recovery, got a sponsor, and I did end up being able to lose enough weight to have my surgery. Then fast forward a few years ago, I got really, really sick. And I had doctors who couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And so I was led to learn about things like inflammation. And I thought, okay, well, maybe it's gluten. Maybe it's, you know, dairy was making me sick. So let me try, you know, that. And of course, what that meant at that time was, how much gluten can I eat before I get sick? And it kept, yeah, I just pushed it to the line. You know, I had to give up milk. So that coffee creamer that was full of sugar, well, I not only had it in my coffee, I poured it on my cereal. Yeah. So my ideas of I don't eat sugar, well, that went out the window. And I gave myself permission to pick up foods I had let go of for years because they were gluten and dairy free. And really it was because I felt really sorry for myself. Hadn't I suffered enough? I had already given up so many foods. You know, I just couldn't handle the loss of more foods. And so I picked up things I never thought I'd pick up again. My disease escalated quickly. So now I had a whole new set of problems. I'm on the road to diabetes, other health issues. And I truly thought I was on my way to an early death. I went to bed every night too full, wondering if I would die in my sleep. And I just knew no one would be surprised. There was so much shame in that. First thing I did in the morning was took my Prilosec because I suffered from, you know, stomach problems. So I was in a hopeless state, as you can tell. There was an AA Daily reading recently that said, practicing my disease means I have constructed my own prison with bars of self-will and self-indulgence from which I could not escape. And now I am here to tell you, however, just for today, I have escaped that prison. I'm living in recovery. I've released about 75 pounds or so in the last 19 months. And I am saying yes to all kinds of things I could have never imagined. As a side note, I took a seasonal job last year at Michael's. And at Michael's, you wear a red vest. And I only had the slightest hesitation when the manager said, takes out the box, what size vest do you wear? And I honestly didn't know, so I guessed. But I wasn't afraid it would fit. And I tell you, every time I went in there and I took that vest out of my locker, I was grateful because it fit and I could even button it if I felt like it. And when I left there after a couple months from my seasonal work, I kept it and it's in my closet. Like, I am so proud of that thing. It's ridiculous. So today I'm here to talk about the principles of willingness and humility, which come from step 6 and 7. So 6 is we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. So these come right after steps 4 and 5. So we have identified our shortcomings, coping methods, defects of character. So we've got our information to work with. When I am not in recovery, what do those words sound like to me? Willingness is loss of control and fear. Humility, well, that's humiliation. They're same, you know, being less than. Just like the reading talked about this morning, I always had that ladder right there, figuring out, okay, which rung am I on? Which rung are you on? Everybody around me, where do you stand and where do I stand? Like, was I the biggest person in the room? Was I the smartest? Not the smartest, the most awkward, the most giving. I was full of judgment and I usually came up short. Now, as I am known to do, I started by looking up words in the dictionary. So willingness is the state, the quality or state of being prepared to do something or readiness. I always needed to be prepared. My sponsor will tell you that is my number one go-to to protect myself. But really, that is the thing that destroys me because it is a disguise for controlling things. Like, there's an okay amount of preparedness and then there's me. I was proudly, ruggedly independent, which I have now learned is a great way to isolate. Now willingness for me looks like turning over my way, my plans, opening my mind to other ways. I have willingness to follow a food plan, use the tools, keep in contact with my higher power, my sponsor, my fellows. And true escape from that personal prison that I mentioned required a willingness to follow whatever right actions were needed to turn the lock of that prison door. I found this quote somewhere, I can't remember where now. When something is done with willingness, there is no sense of resentment or hesitation. And I'm gonna say that again. When something is done with willingness, there is no sense of resentment or hesitation. I was miraculously granted enough willingness to come to this program many years ago, to come back after relapses, and about 19 months ago to get some outside assistance that helped me learn how to follow a healthy food plan and actually separated me from the foods that were activating my cravings and my disease. So all the flour, all the sugar, and my trigger foods. And then I could be clear-headed enough to work the steps again. And the book, and as Bill sees it, page 115, says, the essence of all growth is a willingness to change for the better, and then an unremitting willingness to shoulder whatever responsibility this entails. So then I have to do something after I'm willing. So practicing the principle of willingness starts with working my program, using the tools, and this can include planning, shopping for, preparing my food, being willing to weigh and measure, looking up a menu before I go to a restaurant, or just bringing my own food when it's easiest. And then it goes out from there. Some recent examples I thought of, I became willing to try a yoga class after having a bad yoga experience years ago. And I've been going every week for almost a year. My higher power led me, through my therapist, to a class where there is no right way. There are many ways, so it's very accepting. I've been willing to ask for help in many areas of my life, which I never ask for help, ever, ever, including a job I started a few months ago. I've been willing to do acts of service like this, in and out of program, regardless of recognition or reward, even when I'm uncomfortable or afraid. Deep willingness for me, deep down willingness, is doing something without the expectation of praise and recognition, which is the only way I knew how to get self-worth before. It was somewhere out there. You had to tell me I did good. There are definitely rewards. Even if I'm the only one who knows about it, and really, especially if I'm the only one who knows about it. And the best reward is feeling good about myself, which is not my go-to, but I'm learning. And then humility. Definition is being humble, a modest view of one's own importance, freedom from pride or arrogance. I had that thing that I heard someone say where I was a doormat with a superiority complex. Totally. I also read humility equals balance, and it helps with the highs and lows is I am a creature of extremes. I am either the best person in the room or I am the lowest, you know, ant on the floor. Either way, that makes it really easy to make poor choices, especially with food. And so if I have a goal of staying in that good enough zone, that's a good place for me to be. So this new job I mentioned has really challenged this area. I've had a hard time learning the job. I'm not sure it's going to work out, but I have been willing to admit out loud to people that I'm struggling. I ask questions, and I've asked for additional training. Now, I've always been the one to sit in the back of the room, say nothing, and hope that I can figure it the heck out all on my own. So that is a huge change. But I will tell you, having no poker face and being on Zoom for hours at a time forced me to ask for help. I couldn't hide. You know, there's my face in the square. So being humble means being vulnerable. And this results for me in meaningful connection and relationships with others. People in this room that I have very meaningful relationships with, people I haven't met yet, people in my family. Blocking humility out of fear puts up a wall and doesn't let people get to know me. Humility results in forgiveness, kindness, grace from my higher power, from other people, and even from myself. And if it can work with my food, it can work with the rest of my life with a lot of practice. Practicing the principles may not show up or may not show me immediate results. It's slow. It's really slow. But practicing willingness and humility makes me a little kinder, a little slower to anger, a little more loving, definitely more grateful. It makes my life better day by day. Flip side, if I am not humble, my arrogance will convince me yet again that I can eat like a normal person and I will be out the door in a minute. In the AA 12 and 12, page 69, says, the moment we say, no, never, which, you know, that was my motto. The moment we say, no, never, our minds close against the grace of God. Delay is dangerous and rebellion may be fatal. And I am the expert at delay and rebellion. My high school colors were red and white. On red and white day, I would do anything but wear red and white. Why? By coming here to this retreat, this is willingness. And I recognize and celebrate the willingness of everyone here today, including me. Practicing these principles is not a checklist, it's a process. Every Monday night, my certified, experienced yoga teacher puts her hands together in front of her heart center like this, and she says, thank you for practicing with me. My fiance, who is an attorney, reminded me that they call it the practice of law. The same with doctors and the practice of medicine. It is a constant learning process. So I wish you all the gifts of forgiveness, health, sanity, and grace that are promised to us with the process of practicing the principles of willingness and humility. Thank you.